But John wants us to understand that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us.
Have you ever wanted proof of your own salvation? Have you ever needed advice on how to distinguish false teaching from the gospel truth? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. You know, there's a New Testament book that was written for precisely these two reasons. It is the book of 1 John. And today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger begins a penetrating series on this sometimes confusing, often misunderstood letter. Today's message is straight ahead, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, there are a lot of Christians out there who doubt their salvation, and even more who live with guilt or self-condemnation. How can the book of 1 John help them?
Dave, I believe it will clarify where the individual stands spiritually. If you're listening and you're going to listen to these broadcasts over the next several weeks, there should be no doubt left after we go through this series on John as to where you stand. He literally walks us through a spiritual evaluation that enlightens us about our spiritual status and helps us see where we are.
Now, on today's program, we're going to talk, I know, a lot about pursuing the light. As a matter of fact, that is the title of today's message. What exactly do you mean when you talk about pursuing the light?
We need to remember that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And so when we talk about pursuing the light, we are talking about seeking after Jesus Christ. We're talking about pursuing Him. In another passage, Jesus said that we are to let our light shine. And so if Jesus is the light of the world and we are to let our light shine, we are to let the light of Jesus, which is in us, come through us.
Well, the book of 1 John invites all of us to come out of the darkness and into the light. How can we do this? Well, let's find out by joining Dwayne for his message, Pursuing the Light.
What was the reason for John writing this? Specifically, as we come to the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he wrote this to give believers clarification on salvation. Because in those days there was confusion, a mixture of teachings and false philosophies. False hopes were being mixed in among the believers. And so he wrote this to clarify the salvation, the understanding. Secondly, he wrote to expose and correct false teaching, which I've already mentioned. And it was a teaching of Gnosticism. And you say, what in the world is Gnosticism? Well, it was a dangerous teaching. It taught several things. It taught that the Spirit, which is in us, was entirely good, but the flesh and material things are entirely evil. And so it taught that since we, men and women, are in the flesh, it taught that our bodies were totally evil. And that salvation of the Spirit, which was separate from our bodies, was the escape of the body. You somehow had to get your spirit to come out of your body to be saved, to be freed. And they denied that Christ would come in the flesh as the Son of God, because why would the sinless Son of God come and dwell in a body since the body was sinless? So they denied that Jesus came in the flesh as a man. Since they believed that the body or material things were evil, they abused and treated their bodies harshly. But ironically, because they somehow separated the flesh from the Spirit, they became licentious, which means they had disregard for rules. They were immoral in regards to sexual restraints. They believed that you could do whatever you want with your evil body, since your body was evil anyway, and somehow your spirit would be saved separate from your body. It was a horrible, dangerous teaching. And so we will see, as we begin this series and go through it, especially next week, we're going to look at a message entitled Seven Signs of Being Saved out of First John. He was very clear to help us understand, what does it mean to be saved? Well, let's begin by looking into his book and see what he says to us. John's invitation to joy and light. We're looking at 1 John chapter 1, a very short chapter. We'll go into the second verse of chapter 2 in our reading today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Now notice how he begins his letter. He is verifying the authority of what he's going to say by saying he is a first-hand observant. He is an eyewitness. He's seen. He's heard. He's touched. Verse 2. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's stop there today and take a look at John's invitation to us as believers from the very beginning of his writings. First of all, I want you to notice, we are invited to take courage or to be encouraged. John says regarding Jesus, if you have any question about this man, I've heard him, I've seen him, I've touched him. He wants us to be encouraged with the truth that he shares. Be encouraged. Secondly, John is inviting us, we are invited into fellowship with God and believers. Third, we are invited to live in joy. John suggests that we can have complete joy in Jesus. Dr. R.A. Torrey, he is a great Bible teacher and founder of Biola University in Los Angeles, California, went through a time of great darkness when his 12-year-old daughter was killed. The funeral was gloomy, and their hearts were broken as they grieved the loss. And in his despair and depression, Dr. Torrey went to the Lord in prayer and began to seek Him for help. And he says in his writings, after he prayed and began to seek the Lord, he said, just then, this fountain, the Holy Spirit, broke forth with such power I think I had never experienced before, and it was the most joyful moment I had ever known in my life. Oh, how wonderful is the joy of the Holy Ghost. Dr. Torrey is talking about what John was talking about. That there is a sense in which Jesus can bring us a joy when we enter into this fellowship with Him. John is inviting us into that joy. Another thing I want you to notice in this invitation. We are invited into God's light. You see, there's no darkness in Him, John said. The gospel is an invitation to come out of our sinful darkness into the light of Christ. We cannot have fellowship with God if we're walking in darkness. We may fall, but if we are truly in the light, there will be something inside of our heart that will be quick to be sorry and quick to repent and quick to run back to Jesus and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Remove that darkness. Remove me from that. I want to walk back in your light and your fellowship. The next thing I notice, we are invited into God's fellowship. You see, sin has separated us from God. But John wants us to understand that if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. The next thing I notice, we are invited to see our darkness and pursue the light. The interesting thing is, you know, when I'm driving my vehicle around at night, and I get in it, and I get out of it, and I'm walking up to it or walking away from it, I don't notice that it's got dirt or mud splashed on the sides. But I go out there on a sunny day, and the sun's shining on it, and I go, oh my goodness, this thing needs a bath. I need to wash this thing. What was it that made me see the dirt? It was the light. And sometimes we begin to walk in our relationship with Christ through this world in sort of a place of contentment, and we're not really looking at ourselves in light of the light, and we're not realizing how much darkness is in us. Have you noticed that the closer you move to the light of God, the more you begin to realize the darkness that is within you? You begin to recognize there are thoughts, there are feelings, there are emotions, there are, well, you put fill in the blank. And the closer we move to Christ, the more we realize we're not like Him yet. And so He continues to work on us and shape us to become more like Christ. Well, let's look at one more thing. We are invited to stay in the light by walking in the light. We were created to enjoy a personal, intimate relationship with God. Now, staying in that light requires us to walk in obedience. If we mess up, if we sin, if we find that the inappropriate emotions and attitudes developing within our minds and in our hearts, then we take it to Christ. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm realizing I have this bad attitude toward another believer or toward an unbeliever. I'm sorry that I've held these negative feelings, Lord. That grieves your spirit. And in the light, we expose our darkness to Christ and ask Him to cleanse us and forgive us. Some might say, but it's so hard. Why would I want to do this? What's the benefit of pursuing the light when the light continues to reveal I'm not there yet? Let's take a look at some benefits of pursuing the light this morning. You see, when we know, love, and serve God, there are wonderful benefits in our lives. Let's look at them. First of all, there's the benefit of having a clear conscience. Now, we're talking here, just let me help you understand. We're talking about the benefit of pursuing the light, of walking in the light, of distancing ourselves from the darkness. A clear conscience is a wonderful benefit. A man went to see a psychiatrist, and he complained, I've been misbehaving, doc, and my conscience is troubling me. So the doctor asked, and you want me to give you something that will help you with your willpower? The man replied, well, no, I was thinking of something that would weaken my conscience. Sometimes I think we in our flesh are like that. We would rather have something that would weaken our conscience than help us with our willpower. A second benefit, personal confidence. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. One person said, confidence is what you start off with before you completely understand the situation. Well, I have a different perspective on that. I think confidence is what you should have after you realize and understand all that Christ has done and provided for us. Third benefit, freedom and liberty. There is a story of Abraham Lincoln when he went to a slave block. Of course, you know his feelings if you've read any history about Abe Lincoln, his feelings about slavery. But he went to a slave block to buy a slave girl. And as the slave girl looked out in the crowd and saw this white man bidding on her, she figured he was another white man who would buy her and abuse her. Lincoln won the bid. And as they were walking away from the sale in the slave block, he said to the young lady, you are free. She said, what does that mean? And Lincoln said, it means you're free. She said, does that mean that I can say whatever I want to say? Lincoln answered, yes, my dear, you can say whatever you want to say. Does that mean, she asked, that I can be whatever I want to be? You can be whatever you want to be, he answered. Again, she asked, does that mean I can go wherever I want to go? He said, yes, you can go wherever you want to go. And the slave girl said, well, then I want to go with you. Ha! She understood what it meant to step into complete freedom, to be free, and in that freedom give herself back to the one who set her free. And that should be our same response to Christ. You see, when we walk in the light and step into that fellowship and that relationship and reveal all that, and it's revealed all that He provides for us, our response should be, I want to follow you then. And in that follow Christ, we are completely liberated and set free. Another benefit, fulfillment and joy. Fulfillment and joy. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Another benefit, help with our weaknesses. Hey, anybody out there have weaknesses? We all have weaknesses. If there's another reason we should seek to be in the light and in the fellowship with the Lord, is because He's the one who gives us help with our weaknesses. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Another benefit, power and strength. Power and strength. We already mentioned Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Another benefit, purpose and direction. We need purpose and direction in our lives. Roman writer in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. One more benefit. This is not necessarily an exclusive list, but one more benefit of pursuing the light, security and comfort. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 76, may your unfailing love be my comfort. C.H. Spurgeon once said, it will greatly comfort you if you can see God's hand in both your losses and your crosses. Look for the cross. Look for Jesus in the midst of what you're going through. Now, as you look at this list of things that we've just looked at and these benefits, if this is the kind of life that God intends for us to have as His children, the question I think could be asked, why aren't we experiencing those things? The Bible gives us the answer in one small word when we ask the question, what's the problem? The problem is sin. Sin. Our sin separates us. It breaks this relationship with God. It keeps us from the benefits of God. Do we understand, friends, that God wants to pour out all these things into our lives? And if we are not experiencing them, it's because there's something in the conduit of blessing that keeps Him from pouring them out in our lives. If we long for these blessings, then we should be pursuing cleansing. Oh God, show me what you see. Let me see myself and my heart as you see me. Because I don't see what you see, Lord. Let me see what you see so that I can confess and repent of my sinfulness, that I can step into the light and let you cleanse me by your blood. Now you see, John experienced Christ firsthand and he was transformed by Him. Now, as he writes this, he longs for us. He pleads for us to pursue the light. And he is the one, as I said, who records Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the question can be asked, what should I do? What should I do? Here's what we should do. We should admit that God has not been first place in our life and ask for forgiveness. Right? Secondly, we need to believe that Jesus died and rose to pay for my sin, your sin and mine. Now, just a clarification. It says believe. I want you to understand in the Greek, there is much more meaning to that word than just intellectual consent. Believe in this Greek language means to change your life by what you know. Not just to know it, but to change your life by what you know. Your lifestyle, your actions. If we believe, we will be saved. What should I do? Accept God's free gift of forgiveness and salvation. For by grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. The blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Does your heart well up with praise when you think about what He's done? Invite Christ into your life as your Savior and your Lord. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Friends, as we close this morning, are you aware of any darkness in your life? Are there any barriers to God's blessings? Will you invite Christ to bring that light into your life? Maybe you haven't been sensing the light. Maybe you haven't been experiencing the blessings. And I'm suggesting to you today, ask Him. Ask Him. Pursue Him to take you into the light. And will you as an individual commit to walking in that light, walking in that obedience as He guides us? Thomas Brooks said, "He who lives up to a little light shall have more light." Friends, don't wait for the day when you have a whole bunch of knowledge and a whole bunch of understanding. Walk in the light and the understanding that you have now. And as you walk in it, God will give you more. It's sort of like driving your car at night. Your lights don't shine way down the interstate. They don't shine all the way to your home or your garage. The lights shine just in front of you. You move in the light that God gives you. And as you go, God will continue to show you the way you should go.
If there is any darkness in your life today, remember, it is never too late to repent, and it's never too late to reap the benefits of obedience. Now, let's join Don and Dwayne for some final thoughts.
Dwayne, this series that you're beginning, that you've started this week here on 1 John, to me, really expresses the whole purpose for our radio ministry, because why we exist is to lead people into the light and to introduce people to the light of Christ.
That's right, Don. We live in a very dark world, and as a matter of fact, it is becoming darker all the time. I think of what Henry Blackaby said. He said, "If the darkness is becoming darker, it is not the problem of the darkness. It is the problem of the light." And Jesus calls us to be light bearers. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And we are to let our light shine. We're not to hide them. You know, when we were children, we sang that song, hide them under a bushel. No, I'm going to let my light shine. So we are called to let our light shine to the world.
As I mentioned, Dwayne, our purpose is to share the light with the world. And it's always a great joy to see people come into the light. One of the areas where we have a large number of broadcasts going out is in India, where we are currently broadcasting in 6 different languages there. And we get a large response. There are many people who are coming into the light through our broadcasts there. And I'd like to share a few of these letters that we have from listeners in India that express their appreciation for our broadcast there. Here's a letter from someone who wrote in response to one of our Hindi broadcasts, who writes, "With great joy, I would like to share with you that I have been listening to your Navjivan program for the last several weeks. I have received a new life by listening to your program. Now there is peace and joy in my heart as I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord." And of course, that's the reason why we're broadcasting the gospel, to see people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here's another letter in response to our Santali broadcast. The listener writes, "Though I live in Rajasthan, I try to listen to Marcel Dahar program every week. Thanks for sharing the Word of God in my language, the Santali language. While listening to the Word of God in one of your programs, I gave my life to Jesus." Again, that's the result that we're looking for. That's the result that our mission partners are looking for, those who support this ministry. That's what they want to hear.
That's right. We want to make sure that we're investing our dollars wisely and that the kingdom is being expanded and built as a result. Don, there are two more that I'd like to share with our listening audience today. This letter says, "I am very happy to inform you that I have been blessed by listening to your program. Your message touched my heart, and I thank God who has shown me the path of life." Now here's the neat part. "I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now there is joy in my heart." Praise God for that letter.
Amen.
Here's one that says, "Your radio program is very inspiring and heart-touching. Last Sunday, I got an opportunity to listen to your program and gave my life to Jesus. My family is also listening to your program very eagerly." Those are exciting letters to get.
Dwayne, I'm going to close up with just one more from our Qui broadcast. "After listening to your program, there's a change in me. I have turned from my wicked ways and drawn closer to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. I have committed my life to Jesus. Please remember me in your prayers."
As we read these letters and share them with our listening audience, there's an old hymn that comes to my mind, and it was called "The Light of the World." And you remember how the first verse goes? It says, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus." And we praise God that we have the opportunity to share that light around the world. I want to thank each of you that are partnering with us in ministry. Through your financial support, you're enabling us to carry the light around the world. And I want to thank you for that. And at the same time, I want to invite those who are listening today. You can be part of this ministry. You can help us carry the light around the world through your financial support. Thank you so much.
I've said it before, and, well, I'm going to say it again. Radio is the greatest missionary the world has never seen. These letters from India are just a few examples of the power of radio evangelism. If you would like to help us maintain our steady presence, not only in India, but right here on your station, I invite you to call us today with a gift of any size. Call toll-free 1-877-859-5484. And if today's lesson on pursuing the light has touched your heart, you'll want to read Richard A. Bennett's book, Your Quest for God. Now, we're making this book available in appreciation for your gift of $25 or more to the ministry. If you long to know God in a deeper, more intimate level, if you are ready to seek Him with all your heart, then you'll want to add a copy of Your Quest for God to your home library. To receive your copy, call us today, toll-free 1-877-859-5484. Or send your donation to The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, I can't be sure, but I have a hunch that every Christian has doubted his or her salvation at least once. Coming next week, the 7 signs of being saved. And I hope you'll join us. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for listening to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.